See, God says, well, we can have this power to live a life that's abnormal, power to live a life that affects people's lives. We could do that if we would simply believe that God says what he means and means what he says. And think about this. I mean, if I told you, whoever comes up to me after service, I'm going to give $20. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I don't have $20. I have $5. If I said, sorry, I got Starbucks. I'm sorry. This is about all I got. I had a 20, but you know what I'm saying? If I said, thank you for the Starbucks. It was good. I enjoyed it. 400 calories. Okay, if I said, if you came up to me and said, Pastor Richard, I want your $5. If you asked me that, because I got $5 in my hands, if you believed what I said, and I would give it to you. And it's simple for us to believe that. You know, it's simple that if you have a job and you go to work working as a sandwich artist at Subway's, they say, I'm going to pay you $3.02 an hour. You believe them because you're making sandwiches. You're working hard for your money. And at the end of 2 weeks, they'll pay you because you believe what they say and you say what what you're believing. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it works. You trust them. And that's why you continue to make sandwiches for people who never say thank you and they don't even tip you. You do that because you believe they're going to pay you at the end of 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, it's different with God. God says, I want to bless your life. I want to do something amazing. God says, I want you to dream big. I don't want you to quit. God says, I don't want you to give up. God says, I want you to go crazy with this thing called faith. All of a sudden, we don't believe him because we don't see it. Maybe because we think it's fairy tales. Maybe because we think these things. All of a sudden, we don't believe that if you say, Pastor Richard, I want that $5. Who wants my $5? Who had that deep voice?
I want that $5.
Was that you? Do it again. Let me hear it. Do it again. No, then I don't believe it was you. Who had that deep voice? Was it you? Did you have that deep voice? Let me hear that deep voice. Let me hear that deep voice. Did you have the deep voice? Who was it? Because I heard that. Was it you, Chaz?
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let's say it one more time.
No.
No, you're not going to get it then. You're not going to get it. Did you say it? Say it. Then you say it. You say it.
I want that $5.
Sucker, get him $5. Boom! I told you guys, I got Starbucks. I don't have no more money, okay? I don't got no more money. I can give you my socks, but that's it. You don't want those. See, here's the thing. Is if we would believe... He owes you. You better hit him up right after service. And if you need backup, I'll help you out. If we really believe that if God said, if you ask it, I will give it to you, then we would suddenly begin to ask God for things that are beyond our comprehension. All we need to do is understand that God said, you can have all the help, all the grace. You can have all my ability if you would simply just access it through having faith and trust in the things that I say and live a life like you really believe it. God says right here in Romans, he says, through whom we have access to who? To God's grace. We have access. We have the ability to say, God, if you said it, I'm going to believe it, so give it to me. We have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. See, grace... the definition for grace, as we know at this church, is you put up on the screen, it is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. It's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Say it with me now. Say it with me now. It's up on the board. So it is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Which means when it's too difficult for you to do, he can help you get it done. Whatever that thing that is too difficult for you to understand, too difficult for you to have the courage to do it, if whatever it is, if we would simply believe that God's word is true and live like it, have faith, trust is faith in God, And all of a sudden, things would change. We'd live beyond our wildest dreams. We would see things done. You see, your faith is going to set the limit to the amount of God's grace that works in your life. Your faith determines how much grace will work in your life. How strongly, how much you believe God's word to be true determines it. See, if faith is how we access God's grace, if faith is like the road that the grace truck drives on, if you got a little tiny dirt road, then you can't get a really big truck down that road. But if you have a superhighway, a 6-lane superhighway, you can move a lot of grace on that asphalt. See, if our faith is strong in God, then we can have access to God's resources. In Acts, the book of Acts, I want to talk real quick about a guy. In Acts the 6th chapter, a guy named Stephen. I love this story. I don't know what it is about this story. But all of a sudden, problems started happening to the church. Old lady started getting in fights, started cussing each other out over food. It was these old widow women. They were hitting each other with walkers and stuff like that because they weren't getting the food. I mean, it was kind of like how this church has our food distribution center and stuff. We give out bags of groceries every week. We give out, we literally feed 1 million people. There's about 750,000 people every year. We give away 5 to 6 million pounds of food every year. Well, they kind of did stuff like that back in this church. I know, it's kind of amazing. I mean, it's pretty nuts. So in Acts 6 chapter, all of a sudden they start having problems. So they start looking for people who can be leaders in the church. They say, we need people to run our food distribution center. So we need to find some people who can help run this. And they find this dude named Stephen with a couple other of his friends. And they describe Stephen in Acts, the 6th chapter. In Acts 6, verse 5, it says, now they decided to get more leaders. In verse 5, it says, and this saying pleased the entire multitude. All the people there say, hey, this is a good idea. So they chose Stephen. And Stephen, the only person they describe in this group, says Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Pumba, Nicholas, proselyte from Antioch. And they say all these other people they helped out. But Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then it says in verse 7, it says, now as soon as they did this, as soon as they got this man full of faith in this position, it says all of a sudden the church began to grow. All of a sudden this church began to grow. Not because they preached better, not because they had really cool flashing lights, the band was rocking, not because all of a sudden, Pastor Richard, is really cute or whatever it is. But the church grew. That's what my wife tells me, so I guess I believe it. But the church grew. The church grew because some regular average guy who believed God did something. He didn't just believe God, but he did something about it. He said, you know what? I trust God, so let me help these little old ladies. He stood up to the plate and became a leader and changed that church. And because of it, all of a sudden, it says the numbers of disciples multiplied greatly in the city of Jerusalem. And even priests were obedient to the faith. And then all of a sudden, verse 8 says, and then Stephen, who was full of faith and power, your Bible might say he was full of grace and power. Faith, grace, they work together. Depending on what translation your Bible has, faith, it says his grace was big. Why was his grace huge? Why was his grace amazing? It was because he had faith, because he believed God. All of a sudden, God was able to get him the power and the strength to live a life that changed people's lives. And it says he did great wonders and signs among the people. He prayed for people, people got healed. Prayed for people to not be depressed. All of a sudden, God gave him joy. Prayed for old ladies to resolve their issues and problems. Old ladies started resolving their issues and problems. It happened because Stephen, not Pastor Stephen, not Elder Stephen, not Stephen who graduated Bible College Stephen, not Stephen who was really old Stephen, not Stephen who had been a Christian for 35 years Stephen. Stephen, a regular average guy, somebody like you and the person sitting next to you, believed God, a regular person, not church leadership. See, this is regular Stephen, believed God, and his hands, God was able to use to do miracles and signs and wonders. It literally changed the city because a couple of fellas decided to stand up and do something about the call God put in their life. Because they believed God. Because they believed God, God was able to do something in their life. And I don't know, I, you know, let's just be really real right now. Let's just be really, really real. Because this stuff sounds really good, but is it really true? I mean, let's just be honest. Because, you know, I know this. I know not everybody who comes into church really believes what I say. I know this. Can I just be real? I know when people come into church, some people think, you know what, whatever. Because I remember when I used to go to church with my girlfriend. It wasn't Pastor Michelle. It was my other, it was my old life. I remember coming to church. I remember sitting in youth ministry on the corner in the back, wearing my beanie, down to my eyebrows. Yeah, I really looked like that. I did. With my nasty old boy stash goatee, folding my arms, with my big old baggy pants, my 26-inch bottom pants. I looked gangster with my Adidas on, my socks up to my knee. No, no, wait. Did I? Yeah, I think I had knee socks. I think I did. With the stripes? Anyway. I think so. That's what Pastor Rich used to look like when he was in youth ministry. I look weird. If you look like that, that's okay. Because I used to look like that. No, you don't want to see pictures, do you? At least I don't want you to see pictures. See, and I remember folding my arms and us hitting each other and saying, hey, what's going on? What's this? Pastor Eddie, what's he saying? Is this really? I remember not knowing the difference between Zechariah and Hananiah. I remember, I don't know, what, 1st, 2nd Corinthians? Is there a 4th or a 5th too? You know, I remember not knowing anything. And I remember asking questions and saying, is that really real? Really, really real? I remember that. I remember going to camp and saying, what's the deal with this? But I also remember finally deciding to believe God. I remember getting floored by the power of God because I went from unbelief to belief. I remember because I said, you know, I think I'm going to really try this. I remember that. See, I don't know if you've been disappointed. I don't know if you say, Pastor Richard, you tell me my dreams can come true, but you know what, man? You know, Pastor Richard, I don't know who my dad is, and my mom's high on meth right now. Let's just be real. I mean, because honestly, let's just be really real about this. Let's just be really real, because maybe you're thinking, because no, I mean, just really real about this. And you know, if you're thinking this is not even my life because I'm a good person, then you know what? Then this might be for somebody that maybe you're supposed to reach out to. Let me get the band up here real quick. I just feel kind of crazy right now. I'm sorry. I feel like I have something inside of me. But it just needs to get out right now. You know, maybe the question is this: is, you know, maybe the question is just this, that. Pastor Richard, how do you expect for God to make all my dreams come true and to dream really big things? If I can't even kick a certain habit or an addiction that I'm dealing with. Listen up, because if you're gonna miss this, then you can just leave. Pastor, I'm sorry, you're being so crazy today. I'm usually not like this. But I think somebody needs to hear this tonight. Because I know it's so difficult to believe God when you hate yourself and you're starving yourself and you're eating and then you're throwing up right afterwards. I mean, just to be really real, it's hard. It's hard to say, how can I believe God for these amazing things you're saying, Pastor Richard? How can I believe God to do these things like this guy named Stephen? How do I really even know if it's real? Because it hasn't worked for me before. This is where faith comes in. You see, God's grace comes in when you can't do it. See, grace always comes into a person's life. Grace always comes into a person's life. Why? Because either they're in a ditch and they need help out of it, or because God knows this next part of your life is going to be uphill and you need him to get you all the way to the top. You see, this guy Stephen was given grace because fights were breaking out in the church. He was given grace. And then if you read right after that, in just that next chapter, God gave him more grace. Why? Because the leaders of the Jewish churches in the area challenged him. Challenged his faith. And killed him for it. He needed grace to hang on to his faith. He needed grace to love these people who were throwing rocks at him. Until he died, he needed grace because it was just too difficult to do it on his own. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what dreams have been destroyed in your life. I don't know who's lied to you about who you are. And now you don't know, should I be this way or that way? Why do I have to feel so uncomfortable in my own skin? Maybe, I don't know what it is that's going on in your life. But I do know this, is that if you will believe God, and if you will have faith in God, He will not lie to you, and He will not let you down. All you need to do is hang on. And if you will hang on, then God's grace will see you through, because you can't do it on your own. See, we get depressed and we get disappointed and we say, I prayed for God to do this, but it didn't happen. And that all of a sudden we get discouraged because we start to try to do things and figure things out. We say, oh, God hasn't come through yet, so I'm going to try to come in and do it on my own. God hasn't healed my mom yet, so maybe I did something wrong. We start trying to do it on our own power. And all of a sudden when we do that, we kill our faith in God because we try to start having faith in ourselves. Here's what I know. Is in spite of what you've seen, in spite of all the disappointments and all the questions that you have, I know that if you'll let go of everything you thought that was real and grab onto God, the one who really is real, things will change. It may not be easier, but it'll get better. Here's what I know. God's grace is His ability that only He can do to do what you can't do. And if we'll know this, if we'll have faith in God, then He can pour it out on us. John 14:12, Jesus said, look guys, you're going to do the things that I'm doing and more and greater. And Jesus prayed and healed people. Jesus changed people's lives. Jesus rescued people's lives. Woman was just about to get killed. He stood in between her and the crowd and rescued, saved her life. How many times have we seen that in school? A person getting bullied, a person getting made fun of because of what they're wearing or what they're not wearing. When we can be just like Jesus and step in between them and make a difference. Rescue people. We can do that. Not because we're amazing, but we could do it because we can't do it. But if we believe God, He'll come in, put His super on top of our natural ability, and we'll have supernatural abilities to live. You're not gonna fly around. You're not gonna shoot lasers out of your eyes. You're not gonna get weird, But you have the ability to say the right thing at the right time to the right person, and it'll work. Ability to pray. God will answer your prayers if we just believe God. Grace. There are a lot of things changing in this youth ministry, and we'll get to that later, but this is where it all starts. Say, God, what do you want me to do? Last week, if you were here, I told you to go home and get a piece of paper and a pen and write a grace list. Now, I don't want to see hands. But if you didn't tonight, you need to leave. You need to go home. You need to write a list of the dreams God's put in your heart. You need to answer God's challenge tonight. Say, what is it? I know what some of my challenges are. I can't wait. I can't wait in this next month when we do our junior high and our senior high services. I can't wait to see the junior high room packed out. I can't wait to see the senior high room packed out with people passionate for God. I can't wait to go into staff meeting and say, Pastor Jim, I need a bigger building. We gotta have junior high in the Love Rock Cafe because Pastor Jim, I need to put a balcony in. Pastor Jim, I need to do two services on Wednesday night. I can't wait to say, okay, when you get saved, we have a whole line of SB teens who are willing to come by your side and show you how to be a new Christian. I can't wait to say, which catalyst band are we gonna have tonight? Which of our four catalyst bands are we gonna have play tonight? I can't wait to count how many youth pastors come from this youth ministry and all the rock churches in the Inland Empire and around the area. and say, he was in this youth ministry, and he was in youth ministry, and she was in this youth ministry, and now she's a pastor, and he's a pastor, and she's a pastor. She's a children's pastor. She's over in Ukraine doing missionary work. She's over in Uganda doing missionary work. I can't wait to say, you know what, this person is graduating from Stanford, and they were in a youth ministry. This person is going to Yale, and they're graduating. This person's going to UCLA, and they're graduating from our youth ministry. I can't wait to see, and I can't wait to hear the stories. I can't wait to hear the stories and say, you know what? I can't wait to hear somebody come up to me and say, you know what? I prayed for my vice principal today that they would get healed, and they did. Tell me that won't change a school. Teenagers praying for their principals. Teenagers praying for their atheist teachers and something happening. Tell me that won't change somebody. Tell me that won't change the other body. Tell me. That's what I'm bold enough to believe. These are some of my dreams. I can't wait till every school in the Inland Empire has a student pastor. I mean, a teenager who could be like a pastor at their school. Whenever somebody gets saved, they say, "Oh, you go to G? Then you need to meet with this person at your school tomorrow, Thursday, because they're one of our leaders." I can't wait to say, "Oh, you go to Clement? You know, you need to meet with her because she's kind of like one of our leaders. So you go meet her." At lunch, she'll pray with you. I can't wait for each and every school. I can't wait. And it's going to happen because I'm willing to believe God for it. If you're willing to believe God for it. That's why I'm so excited about things coming up. Let's do this real quick. If you just know you're not living for God, then you know. I mean, if you're like, "I don't really know what you're talking about, Pastor Rich, I think you're crazy." Cool. You know you're not living for God, then why don't you do something about it? Why don't you make a decision to start living for God? Because God's not going to force you to go to heaven, man. God's not going to force his forgiveness on you. You got to make a choice. God's not going to send you to heaven or send you to hell. He'll let you choose where you want to go. So tonight, if you know you're not living for God, you know, I'm not asking, do you go to church? I'm not asking, are you nice? Because those are good things, but they're not going to get you to heaven. If that's you tonight, and you know you're not living for God, if your relationship with God is dead, if this was your last day on earth, and you were to die tonight, and you don't know where you'd go, that's you tonight. I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3, hit this pulpit just like that. And if you wanna give your heart to God, if you wanna make a change, if you wanna say, "God, rescue, forgive me," if you wanna say, "I want to make sure I go to heaven tonight," if that's you, when you hear that noise, 1, 2, 3, just like that, if that's you, I want you to get your hand up in just a second. And we're going to pray, and you're going to give your heart to God. If that's you, you've never done this before. If that's you, you know you need to give your heart to God. That's you tonight. And you want to make a change to give your heart to God, live for him. Because think about it. He didn't hold anything back from you. So why would we expect we could get away with just giving God a little bit when he wants everything in your life? Tonight, if you haven't given him everything, let's make a decision right now to do that. All across this room, front to back, left to right, if you need to give your heart to God.